Welcome to the Extra Business Edition podcast with Ted Robertson. The Extra Business Edition is a production of the KRDO Network. And now, Ted Robertson.
Good morning and happy Friday. Welcome to a special edition of the Extra Business Edition. A very special thanks to my wonderful friend Shannon Brinius for talking about our working with Regional Building Department. Well, that's going to be next week. We're shifting gears today. We're bringing our friend Mr. Steve Schleicher, El Paso County Assessor, on. We're going to break down Gallagher because there's a proposal on the table to repeal it. And Gallagher's complex and lots of moving parts and pieces. Steve, welcome to the Extra Business Edition. Looking forward to this conversation today.
Good morning, Ted, and thank you, and happy Friday to you.
It is a happy Friday. I like to say any day that ends in Y should be a happy day.
I completely agree. You know, and any day I get out of bed and my feet hit the ground is also a great day as well.
So. And, you know, as long as we're on the dad joke subject, the Texans say any day on this side of the grass is a good day.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I haven't spoken to you in some time, Ted, so it was great to get with you this morning.
It is good to be talking to you as well, Steve, and we are picking up kind of where we left off starting Monday with our monthly visits. Today, a very complex topic with lots of moving parts and pieces. Nobody loves to talk about Gallagher because it's difficult to understand. So we're going to spend the hour, we're going to break it down, and we're going to walk through some involvement that you have with Gallagher.
Absolutely, Ted. You know, a lot of citizens, property owners throughout the state, they really, you know, get confused in regards to the difference between the Gallagher Amendment and also the Tabor Amendment, which are two completely different amendments within our state constitution. However, they are very closely tied to one another. As you mentioned, the state legislature went ahead and put forth Amendment B, which is the proposal to repeal Gallagher out of our state constitution. And, you know, if a lot of folks don't understand it, they usually just vote no. So, you know, I'm going to try my best here in the next hour here on your show and also leading up to when ballots go out here in the next couple of weeks of just, you know, putting information out there where folks can sit there and make an informed decision in regards to repealing or not repealing the Gallagher Amendment.
So, Steve, let's sort of set the stage contextually and background-wise. You are an elected public official, and you have put together a very elaborate presentation. Your primary aim here is to offer information so that when voters look at this ballot initiative, they can make an informed decision.
Absolutely, Ted. Yeah, I am elected. I'm in my second term due to the blessing of the voters here in Colorado. They reelected me 2 years ago, so I'm on my second and final term.
All righty. Thank you for that. Okay, so we're going to take the next 5 minutes, sort of set the stage for the rest of the discussion. And 5 minutes from now, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll dive right in. Let's start by giving a sense for the history of Gallagher. When was the amendment adopted?
Ted, great question. So the Gallagher Amendment was adopted back in 1982 when Colorado voters approved the measure. The amendment is named for former state senator Dennis Gallagher, who was one of the primary sponsors of the measure. You know, and a lot of folks are going, you know, why was this proposed? Why was the Gallagher Amendment passed? Well, the passage of the Gallagher Amendment by, you know, we the voters in 1982 was the culmination of a property tax revolt that originated in the late 70s. And those of us that have been, you know, living here that long can remember an extremely hot market here in the state of Colorado. So homeowners concerned about skyrocketing residential property taxes pressured the state legislature at that time to address the problem. And as a result, in 1982, the Speaker of the House, and Ted, whom I believe at the time was the Honorable Carl Bledsoe, if I'm correct, appointed 9 members from the General Assembly to study the problem and recommend solutions. So the Gallagher Amendment was the culmination of the panel's effort to find a workable solution to skyrocketing residential property taxes, What they did not want to see here in the state of Colorado are property taxes that are seen in the Midwest and also on the West Coast.
What were property taxes tied to that had them escalating so quickly back in the day?
Well, you know, we had a lot of significant increases in property values. And at that time, we were reappraising every 4 years, vice every 2 years. So with a market like that, you could actually receive a notice of value from your county assessor showing increases in your property value, a 50, 60, 70% increase in a four-year period, which meant your taxes were going up just as much. The sad thing that was happening is there were a lot of individuals in our community that could not keep up with the cost of living. And at that time, folks were concerned about individuals that could not keep up, but most importantly, our senior citizens who could not pay their taxes. And unfortunately, at that time, many of those property owners either went into voluntary foreclosure or their home went into a local county treasurer's tax sale, which was a very sad situation. Folks on the legislative side and Dennis Gallagher recognized, you know, there are lobbyists up at the state capitol, and everybody's lobbying for the developer, farm and ranch, agricultural properties, you name it. But there was nobody up there lobbying on behalf of the single-family residential property owner. And so that's where Carl Bledsoe came up with this group, and they brainstormed and came up with the Gallagher Amendment.
And in the last minute before we go to a break, and then we really start to break things down, what does a property tax revolt look like back in the 70s and into the early 80s?
Well, what it is folks were just absolutely, you know, fed up. You know, when they're seeing their neighbors putting the keys under their mat, or if you're looking at a high rate of properties going into a county treasurer's tax sale, and when you have citizens reaching out to their local representatives and state senators going, we need to do something about this. We need to get this under control. You know, when taxes are pushing people out of their neighborhoods or out of, you know, a city, that is a bad thing. And so when citizens actually stand up saying we need to take action on this, it is exactly what happened back in 1982.
They moved as a body and they exerted some influence, and Gallagher was not only conceived, it was then passed and now is an amendment to the Colorado Constitution. Okay, so there is a move afoot to repeal Gallagher. We'll talk about that and much more when we come back here on the Extra Business Edition. I'm Ted Robertson hosting today. My special guest, Steve Schleicher, El Paso County Assessor. Happy Friday to you all. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. And welcome back. Thanks for joining us today. My guest, Mr. Steve Schleicher, El Paso County Assessor. We are talking about the Gallagher Amendment. It does some interesting things. It was conceived during what Steve has very aptly described as a property tax revolt. It happened way back in the late 70s and then 1982. There it was. It's now an amendment to the Constitution. There is a movement to repeal Gallagher. I think for some background, Steve, why is this ballot initiative coming our way? Why are we being asked to repeal Gallagher?
Well, you know, there are a number of reasons why, you know, the state legislature is reaching out to the voters to repeal Gallagher. And one of which is because the reduction in the residential assessment rate. So really how to answer that question is just to share with you is what does the Gallagher Amendment do? And as part of one of the reasons why the legislature is asking for the voters to repeal it. So the Gallagher Amendment divides the state's total property tax burden between residential and non-residential property. And non-residential is commercial and vacant land. So according to the amendment, 45% of the total amount of state property tax collected must come from us residential property owners, and 55% of the property tax collected must come from commercial property. So further, the amendment mandates that the assessment rate for commercial property which is responsible for 55% of the total state property tax burden, be fixed at 29%. So since 1982, the non-residential rate has been fixed at 29%. The residential rate for us single-family residential owners, on the other hand, is annually adjusted to hold the 45-55 split constant. So back in 1982, the non-residential rate was 29%, and the residential rate was 21% for that 45-55 split. Since, is the residential rate has dropped from 21% down to 7.15%, and is projected to drop down again to 5.88%. What has been happening over, 30-some years is many folks believe that Gallagher is giving them the tax break, which is not correct. It's Tabor that is doing that. What Gallagher is doing is shifting the tax burden from residential property owners to non-residential property owners. The other thing that's happening is part of this calculation, the reason why the rate is going down the way it is because of the market that the Front Range is currently in. We're seeing escalating values in single family properties, which means to get to that 45%, as values of single family go up, you have to reduce that assessment rate. And we're seeing that along the Front Range, but what it is doing, it's really impacting a lot of our rural fire districts, some of which are here in El Paso County, and it's really hurting a lot of our rural counties who are not seeing the same market. So what's happening is you really have metro counties dictating budget policies to rural counties.
Interesting. Okay, so it's a problem of proportion. So the more your home is worth,
absolutely, Ted.
Yeah, the more the home is worth, proportionally you're paying less to get to that 45-55 split, and that means less into the coffers of your rural fire protection district. Black Forest Fire, for example, is an example of a fire protection district. So it's kind of a tax overlay zone where everybody pays in to have fire protection service, and then that is
absolutely
And without enough funding. And then, Tabor has had its own effect on districts like that as well, where they are needing to ask for permission even to keep investment revenue that comes in, interest on investments, for example, that kind of thing.
That is correct. And, Ted, you're absolutely right. When you sit there and you look at, rural fire districts, Black Forest, Hanover Fire, you have some municipalities that are rural, like, Calhan, Rush, things like that. When you sit there and you take a look, and a lot of folks forget that, El Paso County is a metro area. However, we still have 500,000 acres of vacant land, open space, things like that. And we do have rural area of El Paso County. We have districts out there that are trying to maintain their cities or towns and things like that. And this has had a direct effect on their budget, in which what they have to do, as you mentioned, per Tabor, is go to the voters to see if they can keep their mill levy or increase their mills to make up for the loss of revenue because of the Gallagher Amendment. For example, Hanover Fire District, 90% of their revenue comes from residential property. They have very little commercial property down there. So when there's a decrease like this, it really, really affects them.
So that leads us then into how property tax is actually calculated.
in fact, I think I answer that question every day, but how property tax is calculated is you take the assessor's market value times the assessment rate times the mill levy. So, for example, let's say, Ted, I value your home at $350,000. Since it's a single family residential property, you take that $350,000, multiply it by the assessment rate of 7.15%. Then multiply that by the mill levy within the district you reside in. Keep in mind, we have over 300 different taxing entities here in El Paso County. And many of us have different, our taxes go to fund different things. For example, mine go to fund School District 11. Others are going to fund School District 20, School District 8, School District 38, Colorado Springs, or Town of Monument, things like that. So a lot of us, our taxes go to fund different parts of El Paso County. So you take the assessor's market value times the assessment rate times the mill levy. So if it's commercial, you take that, take the assessor's market value times 29%, which is four times as much as the residential property owner.
So my 3,000 square foot home at $350,000 is going to give me an estimated tax bill of $1,876. My 3,000 square foot retail operation is going to give me an estimated tax bill of $7,600.
Absolutely.
Now that's your that's math that I'm pulling from your notes here, Steve. I don't want anybody to think that I'm a good mathematician. So credit where it is due, my friend.
I was going to sit there and say, Ted, did you pull your shoes off to do that one real quick? So, but you are absolutely right. So you, the non-residential property owner is paying four times as much. So you're looking at their bill is, you know, $5,700 more a year. Now, if the assessment rate drops down to 5.88%, then you're looking at the non-residential property owners paying five times as much. So what happens is, again, many folks believe the Gallagher Amendment provides them a tax break. That's not it. Tabor is the one that basically limits taxes and has basically where voters have to go and vote on any tax increase. What is happening with Gallagher is it's shifting the tax burden from residential property owners to non-residential property owners, which there are far fewer, but the non-residential property owners are paying four times as much for the same services of government.
Steve, hold that thought. We're going to go to a break for traffic, weather, a news update. We'll be back in just a few minutes. I'm Ted Robertson. You're listening to the Extra Business Edition, and my guest, Mr. Steve Schleicher, El Paso County Assessor. A discussion of how market value of a property is determined for purposes of property taxation. We need to also talk about that balance or imbalance between what commercial owners pay versus residential property owners pay. We will be back here shortly. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Extra Business Edition. I'm Ted Robertson. Joining me today, County Assessor for El Paso County, Mr. Steve Schleicher. We are talking all things Gallagher, and Steve, it's been a great discussion, and we kind of left off where we were talking about the formula for residential versus non-residential property tax, and what we find out from that is that residents pay about four times less than commercial does. It's all about a proportion. It's a problem of proportion in terms of keeping everything per the formula of Gallagher, which now is being recognized as inherently imbalanced.
That is absolutely correct. You know, one of the things back in 1982, Ted, is, you know, folks will sit there and say, okay, I understand the Gallagher Amendment, but Gallagher Amendment is also referred to as the 45-55 split. You know, and as I mentioned earlier in your show is, the 45% of the property tax being paid in by residential property owners, and 55% comes from commercial vacant land property owners. So how they came up with that percentage is that was the market at that time back in 1982, is 45% was residential and 55% was non-residential. As you can imagine, and many of your listeners, is that is not the market today. In fact, the market has completely flipped in the past 38 years, where residential makes up 75% of the market and non-residential makes up 25% of the market, but you got the non-residential folks paying the majority of the tax base.
So that leads us to the observation that this is looking more and more imbalanced all the time. Apparently that was not taken into consideration back in the 70s, 80s when this thing was being conceived. So perhaps maybe that should have gone without saying. But that being said, now we are in a place to talk a little bit about how market value of a property is determined for purposes of calculating the property tax bill.
Sure. In fact, you know, one is the definition of an appraisal is the opinion of value. And I will share with you, Ted, as you know, Tender really very rarely agrees with my opinion. So. but here in the state of Colorado, is there are three approaches to value, which is cost, market, and income. And so for residential property, back in 1982, we were allowed to use all three approaches to value that particular property. However, 10 years later, and this is where Tabor starts overlapping on Gallagher, is when we voted in Tabor back in 1992, is Tabor basically said you can only use a 24-month study period, and for residential property, you can only use the market sales comparison approach. So as of 1992, as your county assessor, I can no longer use cost or income for residential property valuation. Now, for non-residential, is I could still use the three approaches, which are cost, market, and income. And so, basically, market values are determined based on recent sales that occur in that 24-month time frame. And my office is already working on the 2021 reappraisal. So every odd year in the state of Colorado is a reappraisal year. And by statute, we have to use sales that occurred from July 1 of 2018 to June 30th of 2020. And Ted, I will share with you, this is probably going to be one of the hardest reappraisals my office has ever seen, because what is the effect of COVID having on non-residential property owners? But I'll save that topic for Monday when you and I talk, and we'll talk about the reappraisal.
Sure. No, that'd be great. That would be great. So, go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, basically that is, you know, how we sit there and determine the market value of property. And, you know, as mentioned is, you know, the assessment rate is the percentage of the property's assessed value that is taxed. So as I mentioned is for non-residential property owners, they're at 29%. And, residential property owners at 7.15.
And there it is again. I mean, it's glaring. It's just the imbalance is glaring because, as you say, the flip-flop of residential to commercial, almost a complete flip-flop.
Right.
Not anticipated. And then, of course, the Tabor effect that has on that. Steve, it's with my tongue in my cheek that I ask this next, but maybe not. How many plates can the assessor's office spin?
Ted, I'll tell you, you know, I have this saying now, it's typical Schleicher luck, you know. So, you know, it. You know, all the things that you have, you and I have talked about, in regards to funding the senior homestead exemption, the Gallagher Amendment, the reappraisals, fires, floods, things like that. But I will tell you, as the county assessor, I've been blessed with an outstanding crew. Hands down, is the citizens should know that they got the best assessor's office in the state of Colorado.
Yes, and that's that bears itself out in the form of awards and other recognitions for that hard work and that on-point work that you do, and it's a tough job. It's a very tough job. So, Steve, in about two more minutes from now, we're going to go to a break, but there is some interaction between the Gallagher Amendment and Gallagher and Amendment 23. Property taxes used to be the primary funding source for K through 12. So there is an effect that's being felt there. Tabor Amendment, you just kind of went through how that is affecting things in terms of that interaction. It's again, it's something that's out of kilter. It's out of balance. We also want in the next segment to talk about Amendment B, the ballot title, and understand the ballot and the language itself and the effect of repealing Gallagher, and then what happens next? Those questions and more when we come back. Let's get this last break out of the way, Steve, and we'll dive into this next couple of questions in just a couple of minutes from now. Sound good?
Absolutely, Ted. Thank you.
Steve Schleicher, my guest, El Paso County Assessor. I'm Ted Robertson. This is the Extra Business Edition. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to the Extra Business Edition. My guest today, Mr. Steve Schleicher, El Paso County Assessor. And we're talking about Gallagher. We've run through sort of how it works, why it works, why it came into existence. Words like collision come to mind. Ratcheting things down, mill levies assessment, and imbalance probably more aptly describes what seems to be happening here. So now comes a ballot initiative to its Amendment B to repeal Gallagher. But first, a minute or two, if you don't mind, Steve, on the interaction between Gallagher and Amendment 23. What's Amendment 23, and what's the interaction between that and Gallagher?
Absolutely. So, you know, the impact Tabor Amendment has on Gallagher is traditionally mill levies could float to counteract cyclical economic cycles. A great example is just exactly what we just went through or are currently going through with the COVID pandemic. So it basically is mill levies could float to counteract cyclical economic cycles and help protect local government's primary revenue source, which is property tax. However, Tabor has been interpreted and also ruled many times in our court as preventing mill levies from increasing without a vote of the people. So as a result, if the assessed value of a property declines, as happened in some areas of Colorado in recent years, the mill levy can no longer counteract the effect that reduced values have on the amount of property tax collected. In addition, if overall property values located in a jurisdiction go up so fast that the tax revenue would outpace Tabor's allowable revenue limit, the jurisdiction may need to lower their levy. This is commonly referred to as the ratchet down effect. So in this case, Tabor prevents the jurisdiction from raising the mill levy to its previous levels without our vote. So as a result, the collision between Tabor and Gallagher. The other collision is in 1982, is the whole theory behind the Gallagher Amendment is the residential assessment rate was supposed to float, as I mentioned earlier. And it, basically, the analogy I give is like an elevator. If values of residential properties go up, then the assessment rate comes down. If the values of properties go down, the assessment rate comes up to keep that 45%. However, now the rate will never, ever go up because it is now considered a tax increase and has to go to the vote of the people. Therein lies the collision between Tabor and Gallagher. Now, talk about the interaction between Gallagher and Amendment 23. And a lot of folks don't understand what Amendment 23, but just in short, Amendment 23 basically states that if there's any lost property tax revenue to school districts, is the state has to backfill that. So property tax is used to be the primary funding source for K-12 education in Colorado back in 1982. So during that time, property taxes funded 60% of education and the state general fund funded 40% of the funding for education. However, with decreasing property tax revenue caused in part by Gallagher and also Tabor, the state has been required by the State School Finance Act to backfill, this is Amendment 23, an ever-increasing amount of funding for schools, resulting in a reversal of state and local funding roles. So the state now provides, this book has flipped. So the state now provides 60% of funding for K-12 schools, with local property taxes providing 40% of funding. So that completely flipped in the last 38 years. And so what happens here is this eats up a significant amount of the general fund spending on K-12 education, taking up 40% of the general fund dollars, or where it used to be 40%, is now 60%. So Amendment 23, with its requirement of increased state funding for schools, has magnified the difficulty in producing the required state general fund dollars for education.
And now we come to the place where we've got to figure out how to untie the knots. So the big question is to repeal or not to repeal.
That's correct. So, you know, with it being on the ballot, folks are going to be sitting there looking at, do I vote yes on this? Do I vote no? And again, my goal is just to put information out there where an individual can review this, look at it, and make an informed decision. So really what a yes vote supports is repealing the Gallagher Amendment, which sets the residential and non-residential property tax assessment rates in the state constitution, and allowing the Colorado State Legislature to freeze the property tax assessment rates at the current rates of 7.15% for residential property and 29% for non-residential property, and allowing the state legislature to provide for future property tax assessment rate adjustments through state law. What that means is when you sit there and look at, because I know a lot of folks are going, you know, I'm not comfortable with the possibility of a property tax increase or the state legislature having any say-so in that matter. What is saving us citizens is Tabor, is the legislature cannot increase assessment rates, as mentioned, without going to the vote of the people. Repealing Gallagher is just basically saying, let's freeze the rates at 7.15% and 29%, where we don't can see this continued drop down in the residential rate and shifting the burden to the non-residential property owners. So a no vote is just basically what it is maintaining the Gallagher Amendment, which requires a residential to non-residential property tax ratio, as we've been doing for 38 years, of 45% to 55%, and require the state legislature to adjust the residential assessment rate to maintain that required ratio, which they do now. And as mentioned, since 1982, the residential rate has gone from 21% down to 7.15%, which it is today, and is projected to drop another 18% for tax years 2021 and 2022 to 5.88%.
Steve, a wonderful discussion this morning, and I am afraid we are out of time for today. may we post this PowerPoint presentation that you put together with the podcast post to this program?
Absolutely, Ted. Please do.
All right, that we shall. Steve, we'll talk to you on KRDO's Afternoon News Monday at 4:35 for resumption of our monthly visits, and we'll talk about commercial at that time, commercial property values in a time of COVID. Have a wonderful weekend, Mr. Schleicher.
You as well, and go Broncos.
Thank you, sir. That's it for this edition of the Extra Business Edition. We'll be back Friday morning at 9.
You've been listening to the Extra Business Edition podcast with Ted Robertson. The Extra Business Edition is a production of the KRDO Network and airs live Friday mornings at 9 on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, 92.5 FM, and KRDO.com. Listen on demand at KRDO.com under the radio tab. Click on podcasts.